This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. What can family pictures tell us about the larger community? A lot, it turns out. Family photos often illustrate personal milestones like marriages, birthdays, and reunions, but they also shine a light on common values, shared stories, and surprising connections. A new three-part series on PBS illuminates the power of the albums passed from one generation to the next. It's called Family Pictures USA, and the first episode is all about North Carolina. Thomas Allen Harris is the creator, executive producer, and host of Family Pictures USA. He's also an artist, a filmmaker, and a senior lecturer at Yale University in African and African American Studies and Film Media, and he joins us now. Thomas, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be here.
Tell us about this project. What exactly is Family Pictures USA?
Well, Family Pictures USA actually looks at America through the lens of the family photographic album. And we go to a place working with our local public television station partners, and we put a call out, kind of like Antiques Roadshow, and we invite people to come in and share their family photographic albums with us. And we help them understand the value of those albums, but we also collect the stories behind the images. And through the stories of those images, we tell the story of a particular location. For instance, in North Carolina, it was Durham and the area around Durham.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that and what you found, but why photo albums? Because, you know, there's a lot of birthday parties in there that may or may not tell us about the larger community. Why did you choose to use photo albums as the lens?
Well, you know, I'm an independent filmmaker and an artist, and for the last 25 years, I've actually been using my family photo albums in constructing stories in my independent films and also my art projects. And I have the fortune to come from a family of photographers. So with each project I start, I find more and more pictures. My stepdad was from South Africa, and he came to this country in the 60s at the request of Nelson Mandela to spread the anti-apartheid message. And he wanted to use media as his weapon of choice against apartheid. And so he collected images, and he was able to maintain a family album. And when he died, I took that album back to South Africa and introduced it to the city that he came from, which is Bloemfontein. And people were able to understand the experience of the exile. It was a 30-year exile through the lens of the family album. And I got these young South Africans to recreate the narrative using dramatic structures of how they left and why they left and what happened in exile. And so it was in that project and other similar projects that I realized how important the family album was to conveying information that normally in other places you could not access it.
Well, I want to stick with your story for just a moment to help illustrate that point. You said that when you brought that album back to South Africa and the community where your stepfather came from, it helped them fill in the blanks for his long absence. What did they help you understand about his life as they were looking at those pictures?
Well, they really helped me understand. As I was doing this project, I realized how much even though we had a very difficult relationship, how much he saw me as a son. I saw him as a stepdad, and I, you know, initially it was we had a very difficult relationship. But in looking at his albums and the images he took of us, I realized, wow, this man saw me as his son. He loved me. And in fact, when I went to South Africa, I realized that in South Africa, black South Africa, there's no such thing as step. You know, that he is actually my dad and culturally in South Africa. And it was a big shock. And in fact, that was what I learned in terms of my heart. You know, my mind was thinking one thing, but my heart, you know, really knew that he was my dad. He raised me from the time I was 9 years old.
I think that's, and so, yeah, well, go ahead. Do continue, please.
Yeah, so I was able to understand that. And I was also able to understand the power of his collecting the images, taking the images, as a kind of a narrative, a visual narrative of his life and his origin in the United States, you know, coming and going to school at Lincoln University in Pennsylvania and trying to get jobs, going to school and not succeeding in breaking into the media business, but he ended up working for the United Nations. And so all of this was in his album.
So I think you've helped us understand a little bit about the power not only of taking a photograph, perhaps looking at photographs by yourself, but now what you're doing is asking people to come together as a community and tell stories. And there we unlock even greater meaning and greater stories. And I'm wondering, after you traveled around North Carolina, what kind of themes emerged?
Well, you know, I saw so many images that talked about the movement from the rural area to a more urban area, from, let's say, like, you know, Institute Township, you know, tobacco farming to Mebane or to Durham. And that story was replicated a lot. I mean, a lot of people had stories of their relationship to the farm, to tobacco. There were also a lot of stories around the relationships to towns that were textile mills. And I got a sense of historically of this this area of the country that I didn't have that much knowledge of before. I got a sense of the way in which people were entrepreneurs, the way in which people came together across their differences to support one another and create community. I got a sense of how many women were photographers, you know, in the 1920s, taking pictures not simply of their families but of their communities in the rural areas. I just, yeah, it was really enlightening in terms of origin stories and how people got from one place to another or transformed themselves, went to a college, was the first one in their family to go to college, you know, whether it was a woman in the 1890s, you know, who came from a family that men went to college, but no women had gone to college.
Well, I think to illustrate the power of the story of transformation, I know you went to a farm in Institute Township in eastern North Carolina to get the story of the Warren brothers. What did you learn about how farming has changed in this state from that story?
Well, I knew that tobacco farming had changed, but I didn't understand the degree to which people missed the culture around it. You know, working on the farm and then going to the auctions and having people come together in a kind of ritual kind of way, you know, yearly or bi-yearly, and seeing one another and catching up and going through the culture of the auction and taking things to auction, and how people missed that when it was taken away, you know, and what replaced it, if anything. And so that was very, very interesting to see that. In Institute Township, I spent time with Warren Brothers, who's also on a character on Chef's Life with Vivian Howard and also Miss Lily. And so I got a chance to really go deep in their farm and see what they were growing now. And they're growing organic vegetables, and they're also considering becoming hemp farmers. So I got a sense in some ways, even though we're looking at this area through photographs, I also got a sense of journalistically what was going on concurrently, you know, right now. Warren shared images of his ancestors who'd been farming that same land for 200 years. Images of how his great-grandfather met his great-grandmother right after the Civil War, and the great-grandfather was going to tell this young woman that her fiancé had just died, or her husband had just died, and she fell in love, and she came and joined him on the farm. And one of his great-uncles was, you know, in the legislature, and said, "Oh, I'll never stay there because it's too corrupt. I'm going to go back to the farm. That's where I belong." And so it's like all these great stories. And then Warren and his wife Jane also shared both of their images. And it's their second marriage for both of them. And they had all their images on the table. And it was the first time their images were put on the table together. So that was very moving for them.
Yeah, and you also you talked about obviously the power of the importance of tobacco, obviously in rural life, but also very important to urban life, particularly the city of Durham, where you spent quite a bit of time. I want to play a clip of one of the stories you heard that illustrates the influence of tobacco in Durham in particular.
This is a picture of my great uncle Moses Gladstein. In 1881, Buck Duke went up to New York and brought Moses down with 120 Russian and Polish Jewish cigarette rollers to work in his factory. After a few years, the Jewish cigarette rollers were replaced by machines, and they dispersed to other small towns around North Carolina. My great uncle stayed here, and that was over 100 years ago.
It's a clip from the North Carolina episode of Family Pictures USA. My guest is Thomas Allen Harris, creator, executive producer, and host of the three-part PBS series, premieres on UNC TV on Monday, August 12th. So, and I think that begins to illustrate some of the diversity around tobacco in North Carolina. A lot of rural states may not have the diversity associated with tobacco growing, farming, and processing here in North Carolina, right?
Exactly. And also that it was a kind of a has a certain specificity in terms of locally, you know, tobacco in North Carolina, but how it affected the nation. And so that was really surprising to me, you know, this connection with New York and this, you know, helping to establish this community of new community of Jewish immigrants and that, you know, they had and also merchants and Linda Gladstein also had the photographs to back up these stories and to talk about these stories. And so that was really great to give her the opportunity to talk about that particular history in Durham.
You also learned about some of the family history of members of the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation. What kind of stories did you hear?
You know, they recently, in the last few years, have gotten their land back. They were able to purchase their land, having lost it. And so they're creating a museum and creating powwows. And so it's a really kind of wonderful to see them, you know, coming back together. Vicky, who's one of the secretary of the tribe, had been living in Connecticut, and her aunt had reached out to her and said, you know, someone has to come and take care of the land and be the steward. You know, this generation's moving on. So she moves with her daughter back to North Carolina after she had, you know, left when she was younger. And so it's amazing to see what they're doing on that land and to meet the tribal chief as well, Tony Hayes, and see their images. I mean, their images go back to the, you know, mid-1800s and of their ancestors, and hear the stories of what they did on the land and how they, you know, some people were shop owners, some people worked as farmers, and see what the women did as well, and the fact that the women played such a tremendously important role in the tribe. You know, one normally doesn't hear about, you know, the role of the women, but they were very, very proud, and they had these beautiful photographs of their female ancestors in addition to the male ancestors.
Well, in fact, Tony Hayes talked to you about that, the tribal chairman of the Okanichi Band of the Saponi.
You know, the Indian culture is primarily a matriarchal culture. And we have very strong women that have led the way since the beginning of time. Like Vicky's mom, this woman was a warrior.
I hear the emotion in your voice when you talk about your mom.
Oh, you know, she's been dead for 20 years and I'm still very respectful and still very afraid of her.
That's Native women, period. Mm-hmm. Native women are very vocal and they will not hesitate to tell you how they feel.
Without the strong women, I don't think that the Indian culture would be nearly as strong and certainly not nearly as creative.
Tony Hayes, tribal chairman of the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation, in a clip from North Carolina's episode of Family Pictures USA. Thomas Allen Harris is my guest. He's the creator, executive producer, and host of a three-part PBS series that premieres on UNC TV on Monday, August 12th. And you also learned the history, the family history of North Carolina poet laureate Jackie Shelton Green. What was it like to dig into her family photo album?
Oh my gosh. I mean, to work with a poet, you know, and look at photographs with a poet is just, I mean, I was over the moon. I mean, every time she spoke about, you know, an image, it was, you know, words were flowing and, you know, and I, in fact, a feature film could be made on Jackie, and I hope one day it will be.
One day, yeah, there's 1,000 words worth listening to, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we have this official history, you know, in the history books. But then we also have the history of ordinary people making decisions that really affect so many other people and are kind of, you know, leadership decisions. And Jackie's family photographs illustrate that, that connection between official history and the history in the family album, because one of her ancestors, her great-great-grandfather, was a law person.
You're talking about Caswell Holt?
Caswell Holt.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating story, and we're going to get a little piece of it right here with Bill Vinson, who's the director of the Alamance County Historical Museum.
You know, Caswell would become extremely important to the history of the county because he was appointed the first black deputy in the county during Reconstruction. He was targeted by the Klan because of that. On two different occasions. The second occasion, he was actually shot. But he survived all of that, and he would go to finally testify before the United States Senate about Klan activities here in the local area, and that did result in the arrest of several Klan perpetrators here in the local area.
That's a clip from the North Carolina episode of Family Pictures USA. Thomas Allen Harris is the creator, executive producer, and host, and that series will premiere on UNC-TV Monday, August 12th. So tell us more about what you discovered talking with Jackie Shelton Green.
Well, with Jackie, we went with her and her cousin Michael Sterling to the plantation and to connect them with the descendants of the plantation owners who had owned their ancestors, and to look at that history. And so they had this moment they had never met before, and we had, you know, both sides of the Holt families coming together. You know, they may not have been connected genetically, but they were connected because their families have such a strong tie together, you know, historically, and also through the photographs and the stories. And so it was really moving to, you know, to have these families come together and to document that, you know, on film, and to have them, you know, talk about their differences and find common ground. And, you know, that's what Family Pictures USA does. It kind of connects people and really expands our notion of family and what family means and what it, you know, in an American context, and showing us our American history.
Well, in the few seconds I have left, maybe you can talk about the dynamics. I mean, people certainly know something about the stories that those photographs tell. But when they get together, it seems to me they might learn things. I wonder what it's like to be at a place where somebody's looking at a picture and someone from the family tells them something they didn't know.
Yeah, you know, this project is full of discoveries. It's very similar to Antiques Roadshow. With Antiques Roadshow, you find out how much something is worth, whether it's worth more or less than you thought. But with this, you have the discovery of, like, what the meaning of the photograph is, both for someone you care about, but also for the larger region. You know, what does this mean historically? Perhaps you have an image in your family album that is a key to understanding, you know, something important in North Carolina. There's also the other aspect of sharing an image that you normally wouldn't share with strangers. When you share it with our team, you might think you're coming to tell a story, but your heart has another kind of story because you have an emotional relationship with the person in the image or with the image itself. And so people are surprised at how the story of their heart comes out, and they hadn't prepared, you know, necessarily been prepared for that, and we capture that, and it's just quite moving, and it's, you know, it's very human.
Thomas Allen Harris is the creator, executive producer, and the host of Family Pictures USA. It's a three-part PBS series. It premieres on UNC-TV on Monday, August 12th, and of course, you can find details at our website, stateofthings.org. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Frank. And you could also share your photographs with us by hashtagging Family Pictures USA to your photographs, and they appear on our website, and we're creating a larger family album.
I keep mine secret on Instagram. Just ahead, James Baldwin's story and work continues to echo through popular culture and social movements. Why is James Baldwin becoming more popular today, perhaps, than he was at the time of his death 30 years ago? We'll talk about it on The State of Things. Stay tuned.